My name is Brian Dixon. I'm a research scientist at the Regenstrief Institute. I'm also assistant professor of health informatics at the School of Informatics with Indiana University. And I'm also an investigator at our Rauterbusch VA Medical Center in Indianapolis. So I appreciate the opportunity to come and share a little bit about some of the innovative work we've been doing principally at IU and the Regenstrief Institute. So what I'll talk about is I'll describe our collaborators, because this is not a project, nothing in informatics is done by yourself or by your own institution, so it always involves multiple entities. So I'll talk about the entities that are involved in this work. I'll talk about one of the many challenges to population health research and how we're trying to tackle that problem, principally through some enhancements of an operational system with geospatial information. And then I'll talk a little bit about the future directions. We really are on the cusp of this, and I'll talk more about this. So who are we, and who is involved in this project? So here are the logos for individual organizations and systems involved. So first and foremost, the Regenstrief Institute, which for those of you unfamiliar with us, we are a not-for-profit research entity. We focus on finding out what works and what doesn't in biomedical informatics. The Indiana Health Information Exchange, which is our one of five health information exchanges in the state of Indiana. It's been around since the 90s, and it's quite large. The Polis Center, which is also a not-for-profit organization in Indianapolis, affiliated with the Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, and they focus on hosting the community information system known as SAVI. So the Polis Center does research in the geographics, and particularly health geographics, as well as other geospatial type research questions, as well as services. So here's more about Regenstrief. We also, in addition to being a research and development organization, we also host a number of training programs. So we train clinicians and other postdoctoral fellows in biomedical informatics. A little bit more on our background and what we do in informatics. In the 70s, we were asked to really kind of piece together the safety net provider in Indianapolis, their various hospital information systems, to create sort of one of the first electronic health records from across the enterprise. That became known as the Regenstrief Medical Record System. Then in the 90s, we were asked to do that in our entire MSA. So we started with exchange between two hospital emergency departments, and it now has grown, as I'll show in a minute. And in fact, it grew so much, we spun it off as a separate entity in 2004 and called it the Indiana Health Information Exchange. So today, our Indiana Network for Patient Care includes 19,000 physicians throughout the state, 22 health systems, over 70 hospitals now, independent labs, independent radiology centers, public health departments. Both the Marion County Health Department and the Indiana State Department of Health are both major players in our health information exchange, and valuable contributors, collaborators. We have over 1,000 interfaces to various clinical information systems, which there's been some discussion on some of the American Medical Informatics Association listservs about how many interfaces or systems does the average hospital have, right? And some of the larger hospitals have over 800 systems alone. Connecting, being a health information exchange, means you get to connect to all of them or a good portion of them, because very rarely is there a lot of internal integration. And then we have a lot of data over that we've collected over the years. This is a population density map of our health information exchange. It's a good way to get a sense for where we have the largest footprint in the state. It's in the central part of the state, which is where the five major integrated delivery networks in the state, their main campuses are located. It also happens to be Indianapolis is by far, it's the only class one city we have in the state. So with a million plus in the MSA, the next biggest town has like 400,000 people up in the northwest corner near Chicago. So that gives you a sense for where we're located. This is how we conceive of our Indiana Network for Patient Care. Principally on the left, we think of it as a data information knowledge management task where we take the data and the information from our participants, various players within the healthcare ecosystem, and then we normalize and standardize that data in a centralized data repository. So we have federated data vaults, but we co-locate it on the same hardware, and that brings us a lot of efficiencies, as in contrast to more distributed federated models of HIE that are out there. And then we use a number of network applications that we've developed homegrown locally to support the health information exchange in the repository. And then over on the right are all the data access and services that we offer to our partners. So people get involved in HIE because they get something in return. Providers get results delivered to them. They have access to a longitudinal medical record. They have access to, some providers have access to our order entry system, decision support services. Public health is involved because we do things like standardized electronic laboratory reporting, case reporting, syndromic surveillance, and a number of other data delivery modules to them. I do want to mention SAVI itself. It's the Community Information System for the Indianapolis MSA. So it hosts a range of data that is outside of the scope from what we traditionally have looked at Regan Streiff. We focus on data that's collected in the service of care delivery. And what SAVI focuses on is they focus on assets, geographic assets and information about our communities where our patients live. What housing is available in our MSA? What are the demographics of the population, the census data? What healthcare services are available and in what locations? So they have a range of data that it falls way outside. So what we wanted to do, or one of the challenges in population health research often is to link these two types of data, right? Take clinical data and marry it with, community level information, geographic information, and how is this, and improve that process. So the big challenge, we think, and again, this is just one of a number of challenges, is how do you link and integrate the clinical, geospatial, and community data today? How does it work? Well, we would go into the IMPC, we would extract out a cohort of patients and the clinical variables that the researcher specified. POLIS Center would go to their SAVI information system and pull out information for different parts of the Indianapolis MSA. And then they would give both data sets to the researcher, and the researcher would work with some data analysts to load that into a siloed SAS data store somewhere, spends hours and hours cleaning it up and massaging it, and then running analysis on it. So it's manual, it happens project by project, it relies on individual data sets, and often processed in a bunch of batch jobs that are independent and discrete. So all this means a lot of human time, both at the HIE, at the POLIS Center, on the researcher's perspective, and this adds months to years to certain research projects. So we wanted to improve this process by integrating this information in a way that it could be linked, permanently linked and co-hosted, so that when you wanted to pull together a cohort or do some research, the information would be available to you in near real time. So what did we do? We took a we used a component-based approach, which means we used web services, where the Polis Center created a geospatial web service where Regenstrief could pass in address information for patients and providers and other persons that are located in our repository, and then receive back geospatial metadata about those locations that could be stored in the Regenstrief Medical Record System, the IMPC, and that information includes latitude, longitude, as well as county designators, census block group, and then some linkages to the SAVI community information system. So SAVI retains all of the complex but necessary information, metadata around how the geocoding was done, what were the reference files, what is the match rate, the likelihood ratios, all of that important information that one would need to do research and development in the geospatial health geographics space. Regenstrief retains all of the clinical information that's used for clinical research, but this co-linked metadata is useful for then linking to the other information in SAVI for pulling information in real time. So patient addresses are geospatially enhanced when the patient receives services for the first time in the IMPC. As soon as we get an ADT registration message that says this is a new patient, we go out and geocode that. Also, when addresses change, we update it. And so let me show you a picture of what I'm talking about. So over on the Regenstrief Institute side, there's the large data repository, the IMPC. It's connected to this geoprocessing web service for doing the information. We then store that integrated data and pull it out with those linkages to SAVI so that you have a complete, singular data set from the get-go of your research project, which we then feed into the work that's going on in our Center of Excellence. So again, that geoprocessing is done on a routine basis. So then when you go and pull your cohort, it's already there and available to you. And then you have a basic set of information. And then for more complex queries, you then link to the additional metadata that SAVI keeps on its side. So what are the advantages to doing this linkage and persisting it? Well, it provides a faster mechanism for building spatially enhanced cohorts, right? So you could do population health queries now quickly without needing to pull together two or more distinct data sets and then massage them. A practical use of this is for more efficient routing of ELR messages. Routinely, we would hear from local health departments that the notifiable case we were sending them was for someone who's not exactly in their county, right? They might live right on the border, the address information that they provided. They might have seen someone in Marion County, but they live in a different county. And so getting that county-level information was difficult for us in the past. Now it's linked and stored, and so we can more efficiently route ELR to the appropriate local health department. And we can tell the state which county it's in, which helps them in following up on case investigations as well in their partnership with local health departments. It also maximizes our partner resources. So the geospatial reference files, which are the expertise of the Polis Center, can be maintained there and updated over time. Allows them to bring their knowledge and expertise to that information in the data store on their side. Allows us to continually enhance the clinical repository without contaminating or jeopardizing the geospatially enhanced metadata. So really is a win-win and opens the door for continuous, we hope, collaboration with POLIS, and I think they would agree with that. So where are we going now that we have developed this infrastructure? I should mention that we developed it in 2010. We went live with it in January of this year. So it's only been around for a few months. And we have all 21 million patient records in the IMPC enhanced with the metadata. So now what are we going to do that we've built it and it's in operation? Well, to support public health practice, we're going to, these are a couple ideas, is utilize the county designation to route case reports and surveillance data, as I mentioned. We're going to include enhanced geospatial data elements in case reports. So now, not only can we route it to the right health department, but we can also include some of this metadata to systems like Essence or other public health information systems that can utilize geographic metadata and geospatial information. And we are thinking about and entertaining many other ideas for improving public health practice and hope to do so in the future. On the research side, we have firm plans to really utilize this information to explore the social determinants of health. We have a paper coming out in Public Health Reports that will be published next month that we talk about some of our initial forays into this area. We have a number of researchers in at Regenstrief and affiliated scientists with Regenstrief working in our Children's Health Services Research Division at IU that are very, very interested in this. So we will be pursuing many projects and streams of research in social determinants. We also have plans at the Regenstrief side to pursue novel decision support applications that can utilize integrated data. So, for example, instead of today we may see an obese patient or in the practice and kind of recommend to them that they should get involved in a community in an exercise program or they need to lose weight. Maybe they're pre-diabetic. But that's about the extent of the advice that the clinician can give them. Maybe they have a flyer for the YMCA that's for the greater Indianapolis metropolitan region. But we think that with this enhanced data, we'll be able to tie their record to community assets in their neighborhood so we can recommend specific programs that are available or specific parks and recreation assets that are within a certain distance of their home to point them in a very specific directed action which we hope will lead to improved outcomes in population health. So those are some of the things, and again, there's many other ideas that we are in the process of developing and plan to pursue with this enhanced infrastructure. As I mentioned, nothing in informatics happens alone, so I want to recognize a few people. A number of folks on the POLIS Center side who worked on the development of the geospatial web service, Karen Fredrickson-Comer, who is here with us and helped manage the project from the POLIS Center side and is one of our main collaborators in our Center of Excellence. Dr. Sean Granis, who's the PI for our Center of Excellence and really got things going on the Regenstrief side. Andrew Martin, who's one of our system engineers and was instrumental in getting the metadata integrated into our health information exchange. And of course, I want to recognize the CDC for their generous support of our Center of Excellence. With that, I'll stop for questions, and I want to thank you for your attention after lunch. Sure. The question is, what is the, and correct me if I get this wrong, what is the time lag between when the clinical data is generated and when it gets into our health information exchange? And the answer to that is real time. So we have real time feeds from services like the dictated discharge summaries and radiology reports and the ADT registration messages. All of that is fed to IMPC in real time. No? Yes, sir. Sure. So the question is, how much access does local public health have to the enhanced geospatial data? I would say right now, given the newness of it, we're starting to put the county information and the metadata into the ELR reports that we forward on to public health. So we're starting to put some of that in there. If they want to pull a cohort out of the repository for a for research or for a population health question, we have a data management committee that's at the health information exchange level, and so we have a particular research scientist that coordinates that effort. So they contact him, and he facilitates them through that process. That's their foray at the moment. Although we hope over time that as we develop other interfaces with public health that we can flow additional data to them. Good question. Yes.
Can you tell me, since you said you were able to now accurately geocode, I thought I heard 21 million.
Yeah. Great question. So the question is, you know, is there any kind of manual intervention for our geocoding, or what's the, you know, match rate? So the match rate is, so the overall match rate is up there in the 90s. So the ones that cannot be matched with the threshold set by our wonderful experts and partners at the Polis Center, who consider it to be a good match, that metadata actually isn't returned back to us. We basically get a flag saying, hey, the match wasn't very good with the address data that you get. And of course, we knew that was going to happen, right? Because the address information we get comes from the hospital's registration system or the clinic's registration system, which is manually input, and there's errors there. So that information, though, does get flagged over on our Polis Center side, and they do, you know, they review those unmatches or mismatches and see what kind of improvements they can make to their algorithms and routines to maybe enhance that or over time. If it doesn't meet the threshold, we actually don't store the lat long information in the repository, and Polis has processes for dealing with that, but it's not something that we kind of have well baked, I would say, in terms of how we might, because ultimately we'd like to maybe go back and if we can do some data cleanup on our end, we'd have to vet that though with our hospital partners. So that's a potential future direction, but it's not, you're right, it's not 100%, and so for those cases we just don't store. We don't consider it to be mapped or linked. Yep.
This maybe follows on his question. You describe a little bit about how the public health department might access the data. What about Polis? What's their interest other than providing you with web services to improve? They have a desire to expand their staff at some point to make some patient-related data, not necessarily at an individual level, but some aggregate level, available for people to use.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone to this, that sort of discussion, about how it might be used by other community members rather than, you know, the select group that are part of the research project at this moment?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the question is, well, two parts. What's in it for POLIS, and what discussions have we had with them about how to leverage this for their interests? We have had discussions with them, and there's a number of ideas there around how we can take population level statistics and feed them back into the community information center to make them available to community groups that are interested in this information beyond just state and local public health departments. So we have had those conversations, and we've started to develop some proposals that we hope will turn into real work over the coming years. So we have had those discussions, but haven't started working on anything specific just yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other questions? I have one question. For homeless individuals, is there any community information you can provide? I mean, do you link to the shelter that they're staying? Do they use the shelter as their address, or is it just whatever comes to you from the healthcare facility?
I actually don't. I'm not sure what address homeless individuals have. I mean, certainly for emergency department registrations where they're primarily seen, right. An address may not get put in at all. But I don't. Karen, do you know, or Sean?
So this system leverages the point of care data in the system. So hospitals and clinics. They know that their data is going to be information. So nothing's changed about the data that they're entering today or that they've entered in the last 20 years. So it's all on our. So the question of what sort of information on homeless people are collected, the answer is depends on what their business process workflows in each of these different organizations. So if somebody puts in an address, a Wisher hospital, they may know the clinic setting, they may put that as part of the registration process. If another hospital doesn't have that workflow, they do something else. So the point is, we take your sick, your tired, your weary data from wherever it comes and try to deal with it. So how they treat a particular patient, we don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I misstated. I wasn't implying that there was be any change in the business process in the clinical setting, but I was thinking that if a homeless person could identify an area that they normally were in, even if they couldn't give you an address, then potentially there could be some linkage to the community information and savvy to get a sense of, what were the resources in their area vis-a-vis the clinical decision support. So I'm sorry if I misstated my question.
Yeah, I don't think we've looked at at least I haven't looked at specifically the homeless population to better understand exactly what address they give to the registration clerks. So,
I spent a little time with the healthcare for the homeless system in Seattle, and a lot of the times it was the shelter, but for the non-sheltered population, it was always an issue, and so that was the source of my question.
I would assume it's probably also an issue for us.
Okay, in that case, thank you very much,
Ryan.